Anybody watch the Olympics the last couple of weeks? I have. The source of my topic today actually stems from something I saw on the Olympics last week. There was a gold medal snowboarder in a press conference that used the word gossip. The reason he used that is because he was attempting to dodge a question about his past sexual harassment lawsuit. And when this reporter brought this up, he basically said, "I'm here to talk about my gold medal, not talk about gossip." Well, that caused quite a backlash of criticism because he characterized his lawsuit as gossip. And so, as I thought about that and how that word was used and whether the people that thought it was terrible that he used that word and et cetera and so on, I thought to myself, you know what? We all need to be reminded that our choice of words should be used to persuade, encourage, nourish, reveal, comfort, teach, apologize, impart wisdom, and build up and bless. That's why we should use words. The words that we speak are vital. And why are they vital? Because they're vital to our salvation of ourselves, and they're vital to the salvation of others. Matthew 12 and 36 says, "But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So, words that are used to discourage, to be painful, to inflict psychological wounds, impart foolishness, tear down, and curse are never, ever in order, are they? In the book of Romans, chapter 1, Paul reveals the sinful nature and lawlessness of mankind. He stated how God poured out his wrath on those who rejected his laws. Because they had turned away from God's instructions and guidance, he gave them over to their sinful natures. In verse 29 through 32 of that same chapter, Romans chapter 1, there's a list of their wickedness and their evil and their greed and their depravity. And included in that list is gossip. So my intention today is to address this subject of gossip as a reminder to all of us that it is included in a list of unrighteousness that is worthy of death. And I think it's one of those sins that we just don't think very much about. We kind of just glide over it. But we shouldn't. It's a very serious matter. Now, as I think about the days of old when I taught elementary PE, I noticed that if I gave a directive for the children to line up, that there were some kids that practically raced, run over people to be the first in line. Whatever the reason that may be, it seemed to be cool to be first. And you know, I've noticed that about grown-ups too. I've noticed that a similar phenomena takes place when it comes to telling something. We seem to enjoy being first to reveal something that we think is shocking or newsworthy. We like to be the first to tell it. We have all these news agencies that are always battling to be the first one to break this news. Many times their stories start out, "Have you heard?" or "Did you know?" Now, is there anything wrong being first to reveal something? I don't suppose there is. But before we do, we have to ask ourselves this question. Is this info I'm about to reveal designed to tear down or to build up? Which one is it? Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Now, in order to tear something down, there is a separation that must take place. And this thought, as I thought about this, reminded me of a poem I remember Rick Sparks giving one time. And I did a little research and found out it was by Edgar A. Guest. Now, I've changed just a few words in it to enhance the thought I'm trying to make. And the poem goes like this. I watched them tearing a building down, a gang of men in my hometown. With a ho, heave, ho, and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and a sidewall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled as the men you hire if you had to build? Yeah, he gave me a laugh and he said, no, indeed, just common labor's all I need. I can wreck in a day or two what builders have taken 1 year to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by a rule and a square? Am I shaping my deeds by my master's plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town content with the labor of tearing down? That's a good poem. The best friend we ever had or ever will have is Jesus our Lord. Now, how awful would it be if we were to separate ourselves from the one and only, the one and only who can save our souls? Matthew 25 indicates that those who do or do not do to their fellow man does or does not do to Jesus. John 15:14, Jesus said this, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Well, gossiping has never been commanded by the Lord, has it? Colossians 3:23-25, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What is gossip? Gossip can be defined as information about the behavior or personal life of other people, often without the full truth revealed or known. The Hebrew word translated gossip in the Old Testament is defined as one who reveals secrets, one who goes about as a talebearer or a scandal monger. A gossiper is a person who has privileged information about people and proceeds to reveal that information to those who have no business of knowing it. Another biblical word used in place of gossip is what? Talebearer. Somebody give me another one. Busybody. Yes and no, sort of, yeah. A whisperer is what I was looking for. A whisperer. Okay. Because all the destructive and powerful nature of the tongue, we all need to have a very, very healthy respect for its ability to condemn our souls into the fires of hell. Our tongue is a very, very serious thing that we need to watch. A daily prayer such as Psalms 141, 3 and 4 would certainly be in order for every one of us. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers. Let me not eat of their delicacies. Now, I would venture to say that most of us here would not classify ourselves as a gossiper. If I came right out and asked you, are you a gossiper? How many of us would say, oh, yeah, I am? No, we wouldn't want to say that, would we? And yet, is there anyone among us that has never gossiped or enjoyed hearing it? That's for you to answer. We all know how sin has a snowball effect, don't we? So if we're not careful, a slip here and a slip there can turn into a real serious problem. Galatians 5:19 and through 21 says, gives us a list of things considered the works of the flesh, and proceeds to say, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So when we speak, is that the kind of things that we are speaking? Are we speaking joy and love and peace and long-suffering? Are we trying to build somebody up, or are we trying to tear somebody down? The rest of that, Galatians 5:24 and 25, it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, the Bible is full of several verses. I'm going to share some of those with you. There's several verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament that are there to enlighten us, to let us know how dangerous our tongue can be. As I share these with you, I pray that none of us will let them just kind of, as the old saying goes, go in this ear and come out this ear. But let these verses soak into us and help us to shape us to be Christ-like. Ephesians 4:29 through 32. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Proverbs 26, starting with verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Now, I remember very clearly this fellow sister of mine who was talking to me, and she kind of paused. She started to tell me something, then she paused, and she says, because I could tell that she was thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't mention this, but then she interjects, oh, well, it's the truth. It's the truth. It's public knowledge. And she went ahead and told it to me. Well, just because something is true, doesn't mean that it's not gossip. Is your tale going to be help? Is it going to be a help? Or is it idle chatter that is designed to tear down? Are you trying to build somebody up when you're telling this story? What's the purpose in telling it? Maybe you're telling it because this person needs your prayers. But my point is this. Just because it's true doesn't mean it's not gossip. So we need to be real careful. Proverbs 17 and 9 says this. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Proverbs 18 and 8. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost part of the body. Oh, how the human heart loves to hear gossip, and we love to gossip ourselves. That's our nature. But that's not the nature of God, is it? That's not the nature of Christ. 1 Peter 3:10 through 12 says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him reframe his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Proverbs 21 and 23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. James 1 and 26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Would you want somebody to tell you that your religion is worthless? That all this time you spent in coming to church on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday, all the meetings you've went to, would you like for somebody to come and say, well, guess what? That's all worthless. And you know why I know? Because you like to gossip. When you say it that way, it sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? It's the words of the Lord. Keep a tight rein on your tongue and don't be deceived. Proverbs 20 and 19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence. So guess what? You should avoid a man who talks too much. And I think back of my life and I think back of the Coopers. I think of some of my brothers and sisters and relatives. We all like to talk. And I was talking to my sister just the other day that came, her and Rick came to visit us, and I told her about the topic I was going to talk about. She says to me, well, you know what? The older I've got, the more I realize the less I should talk. And I said, well, that's a good observation, and I gave her that verse right there. Okay? We need to guard our mouth and our tongue. Before I conclude, I would like to mention two other groups of people who could be in more danger of gossiping than any others. Now, who do you think I might be talking about? Two other groups of people that might be in more danger of gossiping than others. Well, one, the scripture talks about the widow. Okay? And number two, I'm going to throw this in there. That's people that are retired. This is why I'm going to say that. Okay? When it mentions about widows gossiping, it's because of idleness. Because of idleness and gossip, the two go hand in hand. And Paul cautions the widows to be very careful about this matter. Now, what do you know about older people? The older we get, the less work we can do. And so if you've got to the point where you can't hardly work at all, but just basically sit around and not be able to do too much, there's a very good chance that you're idle, and that could turn into gossiping. Pardon me, I think I'm starting to cold. So, if you're in those two categories, we need to be aware of the fact that it's very easy to gossip. So we need to be doing things besides being idle, if we can, in whatever way we can, and being helpful as a Christian, and thinking about the right things. And I'm going to read a scripture here pretty soon that tells us exactly what we should think about. But the main point I want to make today, if you have fallen prey to the temptation of gossip, there's only one solution. And I think it was Rick Sparks that I heard give this solution. And I'm going to give it to you exactly the way he gave the solution. Just quit it and keep your mouth shut. That's what he said. And it was very effective. He came out very forcefully. He said, just quit it and keep your mouth shut. That's a pretty simple solution, isn't it? But for the human, it's not very easy. Proverbs 10 and 19 says, when words are many, this is the one I gave my sister, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. The more words we speak, the more apt we are to sin. Proverbs 18 and 7 says, a fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Don't be the type of person who thrives on drama, but be of a quiet and gentle spirit patterned after Jesus. Philippians 4 and 8 and 9 says, finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And that's the point I was trying to make, is that if you're in a down period in your life, you're a widow, you're retired, or whatever, it wouldn't have to be anything. It could be all of us. We need to think on things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, Hebrews 12 and 1 says, it tells us to lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If we can just surrender our natural desires to the Lord, He will help us remain righteous. But we have to surrender to the Lord. He will help us. That's my lesson. I'm going to keep it pretty short and sweet. This was a reminder to all of us to think very seriously about our tongue. And if I've made you feel guilty in any way today, because it certainly has made me feel guilty when I worked on this lesson, I'm going to say, mission accomplished. Guilt should be regretful awareness of having done something wrong, which drives us to repentance. And every one of us need to repent if we've been gossipers, we've gossiped. We need to get it out of our lives and get rid of it, because it will send us to hell if we practice it. So gossip's one of those sins, I'm afraid, is taken way too lightly. May we all be dedicated to daily prayer to God to help us guard our lips so that we can be a blessing to ourselves as well as to others. We're going to sing a closing song here, and we hope if there's anybody among us that, if you're thinking about obeying the Lord, we want you to know that we're here to help you, to assist you in that regard. And there's no better time than right now. So out of tradition, we close with a song, and we use that opportunity for you to come forward and let us know what your thoughts are while we stand and sing.